Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to our worship service this morning. We're glad you're here, and we're glad to welcome all of our online viewers today as well. I will remind you and those online that we will be receiving Holy Communion later in this worship. And if you are at home, you're invited to get your elements ready at home to celebrate communion and take communion as we do here. Let me remind you that Monday night worship returns tomorrow night. We'll start that again. We'll be meeting in the small fellowship hall. And if you're not able to come on Sunday morning and want to try on a Monday night sometime, we're here at 6 o'clock, and we invite you to do that. Also remind you that we do have an important congregational meeting next week. So in order to facilitate that, we're only having one service next week at 10 o'clock. That's next Sunday, 10 o'clock. That will be for those of you online as well, next Sunday at 10 o'clock. Then we're right back to this regular schedule, 8:30 and 11, like we have now. Also, I learned last night that Jerry Burley is not doing well at all. So please keep him and his family in your thoughts and prayers. Vicar Amanda.
Well, I have several announcements. One of them being, as we're opening back up for worship and having more of the ministries active in the congregation, one of those is our nursery during worship services. And so we have the nursery available during this service only. And as a congregation, as a family of faith, we're asking for volunteers that would be willing to serve as the second adult in the nursery. We have Carmen, who is there each week, but we as a family want to support our young families and our littlest ones. So if you are willing to serve in the nursery, I have a sign-up sheet online, and I am looking for somebody for next Sunday. So just something to keep in mind, and I can help you sign up online with that. So just give me a call. Also, there will be a new book study starting on April 25th. We're going to be reading What is the Bible by Rob Bell. And I invite anyone and everybody online, wherever you are, since it's on Zoom, you can participate from just about anywhere. And we'll have that at 2 o'clock Eastern on Zoom. And if you need help obtaining the book, please let me know. I'd be happy to help you out with that. I think those are all my announcements, Pastor Gary.
I'm going to help you get people for the nursery.
Okay, please do.
I'm preaching next week, so here's your opportunity.
Who wants to volunteer? No. Thank you for the help, Pastor Gary.
Sure. Let us rise and prepare for our worship with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation.
Amen.
Let us come into the revealing and healing light of God. God of grace and glory, you have brought us through the night of sin into the light of Jesus' resurrection. Yet our lives are still shadowed by sin. Make us alive in Christ, O God. Make us new as you make all things new. Rescue us from evil and the gloom of sin. Renew us in grace and restore us to living in your holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Rejoice with all creation around God's throne. The light of the risen Christ puts to flight all evil deeds, washes away sin, restores innocence to the fallen, casts out hate, brings peace, and humbles earthly pride. Jesus Christ loves you and frees you from your sins by his blood. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. Thank you. guys. Good morning. I brought this pitcher, and I'm going to do something really cool with it. I'm going to pour what's in here all over my head and make a terrible mess. You ready? Okay, ready? Look at all that mess. Did y'all see a mess? You did? Good. That's great. I poured this whole pitcher of air right on my head. You want me to pour a pitcher of air on your head? No? Here's a pitcher of air. Look, I can pour it on my head again. It's a big mess. You can't really see anything, can you? No, this is just air, and I just poured air on my head, and it didn't show anything. Well, you know what? Watch your head, Jordan. Be careful. It reminds me of how Jesus' disciples, Jesus appeared to them after he rose from the dead, but one of them wasn't there, and he didn't see it, and so he wasn't sure he believed in it at all. Sometimes you don't see something, but I really did pour a whole pitcher of air right on my head. Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh? So it really did happen, and just like that, when Jesus rose, it really did happen. Even though one of them didn't see it, and one of them had trouble believing it, it really did happen. Just like this whole big pitcher of air poured right on my head. You sure you don't want me to pour a pitcher of air on your head? Okay. You sure? Riley, you want me to pour a pitcher of air on your head? Okay, there you go. Oh, you just had a whole pitcher of air poured on your head. Yay. She's too little. Okay. It went right on her face. I guess so. All right. So, what I want to tell you is lots of times with Jesus, we can't really see it with our eyes, but we see it with our hearts. And we know that what Jesus did is real. And that's what we're thinking about and remembering today. All right, can we have our prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you so much for rising from the dead for us. Help us always to believe it, to trust it, and to know it is true. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace fell upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have been part of a Lutheran church all of my life. And from a very early age, I learned that when someone says, "The Lord be with you," the group responds, "Looks like many of you have had a similar experience." Different denominations and other churches have responses that are part of the fabric of their communities as well. But in this congregation, and in most Lutheran congregations, "The Lord be with you," that's become a natural call and response. And this became most evident for me the first time I attended a national youth gathering. Now, if you haven't heard of the National Youth Gathering, the ELCA has the 9th through 12th graders come together every 3 years in one particular city in the U.S., and they have worship together, they serve the community, they learn, they have games, they have fellowship. And there's usually about 36,000 young people there. So the first time I was able to go to the National Youth Gathering, I was a youth director with my church in Texas. And we had ridden a bus for over 22 hours from Amarillo, Texas to Atlanta, Georgia. We had some trouble with our route, and we arrived late to the opening mass gathering at the Atlanta Sports Dome. The house lights were already off, and we had to find seats way up at the top. We entered the section of seating in the dim light, but way down at the bottom was the stage, and it was lit up with this ginormous purple cross. It was amazing. And as we were finding our seats, the leader that was down there on the stage said, "The Lord be with you." And the echo of 36,000 young people responding, "And also with you," sent goosebumps across my skin. Actually, right now, even telling the story, it sends goosebumps across my skin. Well, I had heard this call and response so many times. In that moment, it took on a new meaning for me. It was something that connected us to each other, but it also connected us to God. And it's with that powerful memory that that call and response came to me as I studied the gospel text for the sermon today. We have responses, and then we have reactions. Jesus was crucified. The disciples' reaction was to hide in a locked room in fear. Jesus appeared to them. The disciples' reaction was to rejoice. Thomas missed out on that encounter. His reaction was to question. And Thomas then saw the risen Christ, and his reaction was belief. Human beings have this tendency to react to events. We all do this. It's a situation where we're under stress and we're fueled by our feelings and our emotions. Like the disciples, feeling fear, then rejoicing, questioning, and then believing. However, we can also respond to events. While reaction is fueled by our emotional side, responding is fueled by thinking about the outcome alongside our emotions. This is what we witness Jesus doing in this passage. Jesus is responding to his disciples. The disciples were locked in a room out of fear. When Jesus appears, the first thing he does to respond to them is say, "Peace be with you." The disciples see Jesus alive and they rejoice. Jesus responds by saying, "Peace be with you." Excuse me. A week later, Thomas, who was questioning, is there with the other disciples. Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." When the disciples are so quick to react, Jesus methodically responds. Excuse me. Three times, Jesus uses the same words, "Peace be with you." This phrase comes from the Hebrew word shalom. And it's difficult to take other languages and translate words sometimes while still carrying that full meaning that they have. When we take the word shalom, we say, "Peace be with you." And the word shalom is conveying a desire for peace for the other person. However, it is so much more. Shalom is wholeness. For nothing mentally, physically, relationally, spiritually to be askew for that person. Shalom is completeness. For the other person not to be missing anything, to have all of their needs met. Shalom is reconciliation. For the person to be in good relationship with their family, with their community, and with God. Shalom encompasses so much. Peace be with you just happens to scratch the surface of its deep, deep meaning. When Jesus responds to his disciples, he is responding with shalom and all that shalom encompasses. He responds to their fear with shalom. He responds to their rejoicing with shalom. He responds to questions and doubts with shalom. Jesus brings shalom. Our God is a God of shalom. And God calls us into a life of sharing shalom as well. We may simply say, peace be with you. But shalom is so much more than that. The times that we might think back to, let's say, shaking hands and saying hello during a pre-pandemic worship service. To live shalom is to live in peace, in wholeness, completeness, and reconciliation. We cannot experience true shalom when those around us are not able to experience peace. Our peace is dependent upon the peace of others. We are connected in that way. God has poured out shalom on all of us, and we are called to pour out shalom for others. Can we experience peace while our Asian and Pacific Islander friends, family, and neighbors live in fear of violence? What about our experience of wholeness? Can we feel whole when we know that there are children still torn from their families at the border? Can we feel complete when we know that others feel like they have a hole in their stomach from hunger? Can we fully feel like we are reconciled and claimed as children of God? Can we? Well, we have siblings in the LGBTQIA+ community that have been hurt to their core by some churches telling them that they will never be acceptable to God. We have all of this swirling around us in our world. Yet God is a God of shalom. God offers us shalom, and God calls us to work for shalom for others. We have received such a gift of that, that we are called to share and to be part of that with our community. In the face of fear, Jesus said, peace be with you. May we choose to answer, and also with you. And this is how we will work for peace within our world. As we rejoice, Jesus says, peace be with you. May we choose to respond, and also with you, and we will help others heal so that they too may rejoice. When we question and doubt, Jesus says, peace be with you. And also with you, and we will sit with those who seek answers and meaning. We can respond with and also with you. We can also respond by protecting our Asian and Pacific Islander siblings from hate and violence. We can respond with advocating for children at the border to be reunited with their families, with feeding the hungry, with caring for the outcast. In times when it is so much easier to react, let us choose to respond. Come and see for yourself. God pours out shalom on us. Let us pour out shalom for others. God gives us the calling to share that shalom with others. In the midst of fear, violence, rejoicing, love, questions, doubts, let us live in shalom for ourselves and for others. Amen.
Please rise. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, you perform wonders in our midst. Open our eyes to your marvelous power, and when we do not see or believe, gift us with faith. Give us the courage to question, knowing that you meet us both in our confidence and in our doubts. Make Easter joy real in our lives. Assure us always of your love, which never fails. Lord, in your mercy, ever-present one, you dwell among your gathered people. Grace us with your Holy Spirit, that through hearing your word and sharing your meal, we may embody resurrection hope. Walk before us, and call us new and always to follow. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Healing God, you wore our flesh and pain in Jesus our Savior. May your healing touch comfort the sick, the lonely, and all who cry out to you. Bless your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, mighty God, in Jesus Christ, you offer peace that surpasses our understanding. Give peace in our lives. Make our families places of refuge, support, and love. Impart wisdom to the nations, that fear might end, and that your way and your peace might reign over all the world. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Thank you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Holy, living, and loving God, we praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. We bless you for bringing Noah and his family through the waters of the flood, for freeing your people Israel from the bonds of slavery, and for sending your Son to be our Redeemer. We give you thanks for Jesus, who, living among us, healed the sick, fed the hungry, and with a love stronger than death, gave his life for others. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life-giving death and glorious resurrection, we await your promised life for all this dying world. Breathe your Spirit on us and on this bread and cup. Carry us in your arms from death to life, that we may live as your chosen ones, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Wellspring of joy, through this meal you have put gladness in our hearts. Satisfy the hunger still around us and send us as joyful witnesses that your love may bring joy to the hearts of all people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thank you.